Hey everybody, welcome back to Reddit Talks Clash episode 25. We are at the year end, 2022 year end. It is December 30th at the time of this talk and of recording. And so we've got a pretty special episode this week about the whole year, especially Supercell. They've done a whole lot, but also kind of a year in review for the subreddit and a few behind the scenes things for the mod team as well, for anybody who's interested in that. But before we get started, I am Frank, and don't get to be here quite as often as I'd like to be. You know, about half of the pods, but I've got Rick and Sam with us tonight. Rick, how are you doing?
I've had better weeks, but you know, it's been a fun one. My basement flooded, got a giant crack in the foundation, so I've had a busy few days. But Christmas was right before that. Christmas was fantastic.
Well, good. Sam, what about you?
Yeah, I've had a good week. Mostly been up seeing family for Christmas. Had lots of roast dinners. So all in all, it's been a very good week. And I was even in London today, so that was quite fun. So yeah, had a rather pleasant week. What about you?
Nice. I was, like a lot of people, I was doing a lot of traveling. Drove about maybe 20 something hours over the last 10 days, which isn't the most, but today I had to get up at 4 a.m. to get back home in time for a wedding that me and my family were going to back at where we live. So a little tired today, but super excited for this episode, especially before we really start to unpack the full year in review, because I think this has been one of the biggest years of Clash of Clans history, maybe the single biggest year, and we'll unpack that question in a few minutes. But before we get into that, there is a link to a post that was pinned. We unpinned it to make room for the talk, but it will be repinned here in a little bit for the 2022 best of nominations and voting thread. For everyone who's listening live, you can go to the top comment that's stickied to this post and open this thread. And it is a place for everyone to vote for their favorite post in different categories. And so I really want to encourage everyone who's listening to vote on it. If you are hearing this in podcast, it's going to be open all the way until 11:59 p.m. January 31st. And so you have the entire year of 2022 to vote for it. But we've got a couple different categories, a few of them. One thing that was a clarification was the Mod Choice Awards is the first category. And those weren't actually Mod Choice. We didn't choose anything, but it was awards that were just clear cut. It was like most upvotes of any post in 2022 that got an award. It was Supercell's announcement to remove their games from Russia and Belarus, which is pretty interesting. Greatest accomplishment was the most upvoted personal accomplishment post, and then some accurate predictions, which were neat. But the ones that you can vote on are the user vote awards, which are a selection of the categories best meme, best in-game clip, clash in real life, best art, and best guide. And then anybody can submit their nomination for the most unique post of the whole year and the MVP of the subreddit, which user you think was the most valuable. Hop over to that and get your votes in, because it is really cool. But I wanted to ask Sam and Rick, if you saw any of those, which ones in particular stood out to you? Is there like a category that you thought was really close and had, you know, all good options? Was there a single post that you thought really just stood out compared to the others? As we're just kind of looking at the posts of the sub over this past year, what do you guys think?
Trample Damage and I have spent a lot of this year in the same clan and talking to each other, and he's become a pretty good friend. So I'm really glad to see he is getting some love, since he's basically, I think, the only content creator really engaging with Reddit and has been for a long time. So I'm really glad to see he got some nominations for all the wonderful posts he's been giving us. And then like some of the memes were ones that I do remember laughing at through the year. The year two, your recruiting post is on there.
Yeah,
and I've told you a few times and how awesome I thought that was, and the talk that went along with that.
Yeah, no, we're gonna do towards the end of the episode some New Year's resolutions for us in the sub, and mine has something to do with that. So I was excited to see it on there too. Sam, what did you think?
Yeah, I honestly think my favorite post is the quote unquote mod choice awards, which was the creating Town Hall 15 post by Usash, gonna pronounce this so wrong, Thuban Draco. I just thought the way he presented the whole post, if you guys haven't seen it, it was, I think you're quite likely to have seen it. It was a 17 image, almost slideshow of this guy creating a whole concept for Tower 15, which actually came out, I think, pretty close to the final product, whether Supercell did draw from it or not.
It came out like six or seven months before release. So when they knew they were doing 15, but when they were still designing it. Yeah.
100%. And Darian did say they were passing it on to the team, whether they actually drew from it or not. I don't know. But the reason I really loved it was obviously I thought the concept was cool, but I just really liked the way it was all presented. I really liked the way they utilized mood boards, polls from the subreddit, and just the whole coming together. You know, you see a lot of great concepts on the sub, don't get me wrong, but that are a single image just saying, this is what I think it should be. But yeah. I really liked how they presented their thought process and their design. I thought that really added an extra extra complexity, and just it made it feel a lot more rounded and complete, like a lot more thought had really gone into it. So yeah, that was my top post of the year, I think.
Yeah. That one was really unique because the other two accurate predictions, somebody put the clan house decoration as a prediction when Clan Capital was first released. And granted, that was pretty intuitive. There were 50 houses in the village and 50 possible accounts per clan. And so people can kind of put two and two together. But the designs that they had for it in particular looked pretty similar to what we ended up getting for the Christmas design. So
yeah, they
pretty,
had a gingerbread house, didn't they? Which I think we do have, which is... That's pretty good going.
People might even have thought that it was a leak, but this was like when Clan Capital came out, which was months and months in advance. And the Super Mario concept was actually just spot on, like the exact, I mean, everything perfectly predicted. And so that's why the high quality Town Hall 15 concept is a little bit unique, because it wasn't a one-to-one, like, perfect prediction, but it was the highest effort prediction post I think the sub has ever seen. And it thematically really ended up tying in pretty perfectly to what Town Hall ended up being. Yeah. But I want to backtrack for just a second to what Rick was saying about trample damage and about content creators in general. I don't know if now is the best time to have this conversation, but I think one of the things that we've really tried to prioritize as a mod team is really cultivating high quality posts. And there are a lot of things that we've done in this past year to try and do that. One of those is creating the high quality post flare so that people can sort by it and see it, and that users can be recognized when they're posting high quality content, that like the mods get to say, we think this is high quality. But I love that Trample's on here for one of his guides. I love that he is, I think, the pretty far and away the front runner for MVP of the sub. He's the most for sure right now, because he's one of the few people who is an actual content creator outside of Reddit who makes content specifically for Reddit that is received well and like perfect for our medium. I do think we've really increased the number of content creators we have that are like Reddit exclusive content creators. People like who was it who was posting all of the breakdowns of CWL each month.
Robotic Chicken
is one. We had a few other people posting pretty regular guides and things like that this year.
I think the amount of Supercell challenges we've had have actually really helped almost push that, because we've, you know, like, so obviously the quality differs between them, but it's really nice to see lots of people attempting to make their own guideposts for all these challenges. I think having that in-game, obviously we've had challenges for over a year now, but I think we've had a lot this year, and it's actually been a very good foundation starting point for more videos and more people attempting to make this sort of guide content on the sub, which I think has been really positive.
Yeah, and you're right. We should start with the actual game, because that's what people care about more than the subreddit. and you're right. I do think it goes hand in hand that the game has been just really incredible this year. So, Rick, can you give us just a rundown of everything that was added to the game just this year alone?
Oh, man, it's so much, too. So I was going through Clash Ninja's site, because he has a real convenient history of updates. The thing that really stood out to me about 2022 was just like in our doc, I called it the year of quality of life changes, because I think all the updates that had the biggest impact for the community as a whole are all the quality of life stuff too, because there's people who don't like Capital, a ton of people who aren't Town Hall 15 who don't really get to enjoy all that stuff, but all the quality of life updates really affect people of all levels. So starting off, the first update of the year was February, and that was really like a quality of life only one, and that was where we got the Hero Extra Life, which was massive. They did the clan member sorting, and then you got to see when people are last online.
Yeah, people have been asking for that for years. Yeah.
There was a real nice clan game change on that one too, where when you complete a challenge, it pops up that little button to bring you straight back into the clan game menu, even from Builder Base side, which was always annoying having to leave and do that. And you know, sometimes I miss it still, but it's nice to catch in and immediately pick up a new Builder Base challenge, especially when you're in Legends and you're just trying to knock them all out. And then that one also introduced the little reminder of, hey, dummy, you don't have more year one gem donations on.
Oh, yeah.
It's just to stop you from burning off 90 gems on accident before you realize.
Yeah, that still bugs out sometimes, but it's a good thought, especially when it works.
It only gives you the reminder after you buy the gold pass and before you get like that first 40 points where it always is. Mm-hmm. So there's a really small window where it reminds you. And if you don't buy the gold pass, it won't tell you.
That
has still been like, has stumped me most times, just not having the gold pass at all.
You know, also, like, you know, like if it did that, a lot of people would hate it too, because you know they would see it as pestering you to buy the gold pass. But I don't know.
But then, just the big ones for February, the hero life and the clan management.
So that one also brought two of probably the most controversial things, at least one near and dear to me. That was the update that ripped China away from us and split them off into their whole own server.
I want to talk about that for sure, because we got an update about that kind of recently, but just running through the whole year of update changes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that was also where they introduced the Pekka chasing the butterfly Easter egg. As moderators, like, you guys don't understand how many times people have posted that as if it were a new thing, thousands and thousands of times. But moving on, May is when we got the clan capital huge update, which I would have called the biggest update in Clash history up to that point. Clan capital, everything that came with that, we get the new trader, the 7-day trader, raid medals, self donation, everything that comes with raid medals, a whole new currency. A new whole half of the trader, massive. Even if you don't like the capital, you still get a massive benefit just from phoning it in and doing the raid medals. You can sell all that junk for gems.
Yeah. And a footnote to put a pin in to come back to, we also saw a pretty big change in Supercell's plan of announcing content for Clan Capital. That was when they had their huge, like, 35 minute video explaining all of it. We heard it directly from Supercell, not from content creators. And we saw them kind of be at the forefront of announcing their content for the first time, really. And can come back to that for one of the more recent updates too. But yeah, that was May's update.
June gave us another one that is massive, another big quality of life thing. The troop training cost was removed. So that's been, I wasn't really impressed with it when it first came out, but just the longer it set in, the nicer it really is, because it, especially when you're in like Legends, like all that Elixir and Dark Elixir cost really does add up. And it's really nice for newer players to not have to worry about the cost, and especially just using Dark Elixir troops to get used to war at lower levels too, when people are really trying to save for their heroes. That was massive. June also gave us the remove all troops buttons, which are great.
Super overdue.
The ability to donate any super troop with gems, whether it was unlocked or not. So if you have gold pass, that's been massive too. That's how that was when everyone really, really opened up to using like super usher blimps and a lot more blizzards, just because it was easier to get those. And then also that was the scenery randomizer button that month.
Crucial change, which changed again.
Yeah, it's nice. Like, if you have a ton of sceneries, it is kind of cool to, like, actually see them again. Walls all the way down to Town Hall 5, you can buy with Elixir now. I completely forgot about that, because I don't, you know, I haven't farmed up new Town Hall 5s, really.
Right, yeah.
And then the Clan Castle with Switch 2 Elixir, which I'm still not a fan of.
It just looks wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I do kind of see it. Almost makes sense because every other offensive-ish thing, you know, anything else involved with troops is Elixir. Army camps, barracks, they're all Elixir. Laboratory, spell factories, all Elixir. So I guess logically it makes sense, but it feels...
It's even more of a huge Elixir drain in the first days of a town hall, which is...
Yeah, and that's what I don't like about it either.
Yeah. That moves us into August, which is when Clash Fest started and everything that came with that. We got the mini games, the merch, all the giveaways. Had a ton of challenges. They did that documentary.
Yeah.
The big Clash Fest documentary.
Yeah.
Which was, I don't know, like, the people hated it or loved it. So
it was a creative decision, put it that way.
My favorite part was that they did two AMAs about it. One totally like in costume for their act, but then because they didn't want the community to react negatively to something that was like in character, they did another one afterwards with just the actual dev team. And so I saw a lot of really intentional interaction with the community around it, you know, trying to make sure it was cool, but also that it was meeting them where they wanted to be met.
Yeah, I also think it's out to point out that was Stuart's first AMA with us. So was always exciting.
September, we didn't really get an update. There was they nerfed the Royal Champ a little bit and buffed air defenses. But September is also when Hammer Jam begun, which everyone loves Hammer Jam every year. And the World Finals was also September. It was the first live event in years and years, which was real fun. It was, I loved every second of the World Event Finals. Then October, of course, what they've called repeatedly the biggest update in Clash Clans ever, Town Hall 15.
Uh-huh.
That brought along a lot of, you know, like obviously the new troops and buildings and defenses and everything. But quality of life wise, we got the barracks change and the spell factory change, where now barracks are only one building, which is great because I guess it kind of backed off the elixir requirement when you first are upgrading.
Yeah, I guess it almost balances out the fact that the CC is now elixir.
Yeah, instead of four expensive buildings, you do the one. But the spell factory, those changes were huge, where you can still have spells while it's upgrading. It just
slower,
along with Town Hall 15, and just like every other new town hall, just massive cost and time reductions to upgrades for lower town halls, which was always great just to keep that in line and help move you along. And then finally, in December, just recently, we got the Super Miner, we got the Skeleton Park, the first update to the clan capital outside of balance changes. Shovels are huge. Everyone loves the shovel change. The only complaints I've seen about the shovel is that it wasn't like retroactive, but also it's kind of unreasonable to have expected them to track that over the years.
Yeah, they physically don't have the data for that. So,
and then my all-time favorite quality of life change of all time, the one that Reddit's been pushing hard and the one that I've gotten in way too many stupid arguments over, we finally get our accounts protected if you're in the right parts of the world, apparently. But yeah.
So I want to split all of this up into three categories. One is quality of life. One is content, like in-game content. And then the last one is Supercell, specifically communication. But just starting off with quality of life, I think we're putting the SCID security update into quality of life. If we take that out for just a minute and look at every other quality of life things, the extra hero life, the troop training cost, removal, the barracks change and the spell factory change, is there a year that has had a better quality of life, just like annual improvement year to date, than 2022?
I mean, I think the biggest thing in terms of this quality of life update is, off the top of my head, I cannot think of all the quality of life stuff we've done in all the previous years. But what I can think of is often it was nice, almost UI changes or making, you know, this, like I remember the builder base, you know, you didn't have to train troops anymore. Yeah, that was nice. But it was often, you know, it wasn't on the core Clash experience. Whereas this, extra hero life, no troop training costs, the whole spell factor change. It's all very much focused on attacking and making attacking easier, which I just think is, I mean, it's huge. Obviously, attacking is essentially the main part of the game. It is the game, attacking. And they have made that so much easier, especially, I think, for newer players, because you've really got to remember, like Rick said, you know, at our town level, sure, it's a bit of a bummer to lose, yeah, 100k elixir, whatever it was, don't remember now, on an army, but ultimately, not the end of the world. But at lower town halls, I mean, you were spending all, sometimes your entire storage on an army right at the very bottom. And also, like, dark elixir troops, you would spend 1,000 dark on an army, which to us seems like probably nothing. But when you're saving for hero levels, which are only around 20,000, I mean, 1,000 dark elixir per army, that is huge. And just having that burden gone, it's, you know, it's obviously encouraging people to try out more things. I just think that's really, really healthy for the game.
And Rick touched on this earlier, but also people historically weren't able to practice war attacks and effectively upgrade their base at the same time, because the, like, the min-max way to upgrade your base fastest was to have the cheapest army, which was always Barch. But now that it's just about training time, I mean, maybe if you're no-lifing it, you really want to get in 50 attacks instead of 30 in a day. but now you can just do a war army for every single attack and practice your actual attacking skills while you're farming, which is huge.
Yeah, I mean, I remember at Town 9, my Golem Witch army for war. That would be like a luxury to use, because I can use that in multiplayer. I need, there are 30, I mean, 60 hero levels to do in total. I couldn't sit around just burning 1,000 dark leaks for every army. So I think that is really nice, because obviously, you know, practicing in war only isn't always the best. And of course, back then, or at least when I was at Town 9, your FC army, you can just edit it. You know, that wasn't a thing either. I mean, they really have taken really big strides in terms of making attacking easier.
FCs, because when I look at just quality of life improvements from this year, I think they're incredible, and they're all specifically quality of life improvements. Whereas in years past, they kind of blur the line between in-game content and quality of life improvement, like FCs being added. You know, it's a huge quality of life improvement because you get to practice, but it's also kind of in-game content. Same thing with things like clan games. You know, gold pass is probably more quality of life than content, but it gives you skins and does a lot of other things that are kind of cool. This year, I think all of their quality of life things were really just like 100% quality of life improvements.
Yeah, they made existing features easy.
Yeah. But I think when you add the skid into the bucket, this is just the best year for quality of life. You know, I don't think there's a single thing that you can show me except for maybe the gold pass. And even then, that's a conversation.
I would.
I don't think there's hardly anything that you could give me where I would trade the security update for it.
So it's the security update. Should we touch on that a bit? I think, Rick, you're probably the most qualified to go over that.
Go do it. If you don't go enable it, you are an idiot, and I'm gonna berate you, and I'm never gonna feel I'm not gonna feel any sympathy if you lose your account and you don't have it enabled as of right now. So
it's sold out everywhere as of now.
It's in most of the world. There's a few places that can't get it, and if you're in those places, man, like, I'm sorry, and I will still feel bad for you, but everyone else, like, if you're in America or most of Europe.
There's no reason not to do it.
Yeah, go do it. Sign up for the Supercell ID if you haven't, again, because there's no reason not to. And then in the Supercell ID settings, it's not in the game settings, but in the Supercell ID settings, scroll all the way down. You can change your email address if you need to. And then enable account protection. It's going to ask you for a phone number, and it's going to send you a code, just like logging in with Supercell ID, just to verify your email. And it's going to give you 3 recovery codes. They're 12 digits long, alphanumeric. Write those down, save them somewhere safe, email them to yourself, whatever. So what happens is, if you need to recover your account or if someone else tries to recover your account, it's going to send you a text message with a little 6-digit number. And then you enter that into the game, and that's it. You don't have to go through support to recover your account. It's super easy. And then if for some reason you lost your phone, changed phone numbers, forgot to update it, do whatever, You have those recovery codes that you wrote down. Those are single use only, so you can really only do that three times. But you really shouldn't have lost your phone number three times in the lifespan of playing this game. So, if that's you,
and surely like they can expand that in 5-10 years, you know, as another quality of life update.
Yeah, probably. You know, it's just you got to be just a little bit responsible, but your account security is now in your hands. And if you don't enable it and you choose not to, then I'm going to clown on you when your account gets stolen.
So I think there's no arguing that this has been an exceptional year for quality of life. Maybe depending on how you're defining quality of life, there are other years that come close to it. But from a content standpoint of just the things added to the game, I'm of the opinion that I think 2022 is the biggest year for content between Clan Capital and Town Hall 15. There are some, you know, maybe things that we could compare it to, but it's a tough comparison.
I would think Clan Wars, the introduction of Clan Wars, might rival it just because that was a long time ago. That without Clan Wars, this game wouldn't still be here. That was really what took it from like a fun little base building game to, you know, global phenomenon.
I think when they introduced CWL too, that, I don't know if I'd say it's quite as big as Clan Capital, but it's definitely like the top end. It's the end game, you know, for competitive people. It's what you play for month after month.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's also just so important to remember how much was in Town Hall 15. I mean, it's very easy just to think of every Town Hall update as sort of similar, as they're all a Town Hall release. They all come with a new troop, probably. They all come with probably, you know, a new defense on the Town Hall or something like that. But with Town Hall 15, we got a lot. We got a new spell, which... I really like the recall spell.
I always forget it exists.
Much. Yeah, no one uses it.
I can't say I use it much, but it's a really cool concept. And I hope actually they introduce some sort of troop or something that really, really benefits from it. Because I think it's really great for some pros in really high-level play. But for most people, they're not going to use it. And honestly, I rarely see any pros ever use it. So I think they should try find a use case for it. It's very...
I've got one that competes with this year. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go on.
I just did a couple looking up things because I thought I remembered it this way, but I couldn't quite remember at the time. 2018 is going to be the year that I'll put up to 2022. And you guys let me know.
Was that Build-A-Base?
No.
No?
No.
It might have been.
I don't remember anything.
Build-A-Base might have been 16 or 17.
It was around there. It was somewhere in there. I remember the job I had at the time. I only had for a couple of years. So it was either 2017 or 2018 that Builder Base came out. But in 2018, we got CWL released. Right. And we also got Town Hall 12, which introduces the Town Hall as a defensive unit, the Giga Tesla.
Right, yeah, that is huge.
Siege Machines changed the offensive game, you know, ever since. And so that's what I'll put up. Who cares if Builder Base is attached to it. But compared to from CWL, Town Hall 12, Town Hall as a defense, Siege Machines are introduced to 2022. We get Clan Capital with all of the unique quality life features that come along with raid medals, in addition to Town Hall 15. Which one would you say is a better year for content?
I would go for this year. I think the Clan Capital is huge. I mean, I think that's... In terms of at least content and development time, I reckon way bigger than Build-A-Base. I think Town Hall 15, while none of the concepts are particularly new in terms of weaponized Town Hall siege machines, we got a lot of stuff. You know, new troop, new siege, new spell.
This just defenses in Build-A-Base 2017.
Okay.
17, so not part of the conversation. Go on.
Gotcha. Two new defenses, which is more than we usually get. And I think... they're two new really impactful defenses. Monoliths, definitely impactful, but I think the spell towers have really changed the way people attack and people defend. I think they are huge. Obviously, every new defense is huge, but on the whole, every new defense has been some sort of thing that damages you. But now the spell towers are kind of in a league of their own, and it really makes... I think attacking much more.
I see where you're coming from for sure. And especially about spell towers being like the strongest defense to date, I think is true. But I'm going to take 2018 because I think having the town hall be a defense changed how you attack and how you scout and how you plan for a base just forever. And while spell towers are probably stronger at town hall 15, I don't know if it changes how I plan for every single base. Whereas like now the town hall is a huge part of it. And siege machines made your clan castle like a really valuable strategic part of your attack. Whereas before it was just like extra troops that we can put anywhere. So Rick, break our tie for us.
Yeah, let's say.
I'm going 2018 CWL medals specifically, and the metal shop, because hammers, bind books, getting that huge flow of magic items really is what changed the game for progression. Again, it's hard to argue that the game would be, you know, maybe alive even without those massive boosts to progression.
So. I think that's a really interesting conversation. Anyone who's listening right now, feel free to type your vote into the comments and we'll see. It'll be fun to compare this year after year, but I think this year was a great year, even if 2018 content-wise was a little better. The last kind of I wanted to look at, I don't know how much there is to discuss about it, is just Supercell's communication with the community. Because I think it's really been on a good level this year. I haven't paid that much attention in years past to know if it's improved or not. But I think they've really gone out of their way to produce intentional content, like the Clan Capital video, unique content like the 10th year anniversary and things like that. But one thing I want to ask, whether it's about their content or the game or quality of life or anything else, what do you think they missed on this year, if anything? Because I think the one glaring area that people were pretty unhappy with, other than the security stuff, which did get resolved, is China. That at the beginning of the year, there was just zero communication. All of China got split off into their own server, their own version of the game, and it didn't receive updates for, you know, several months, and still really not a lot of communication about it, but there was a little bit of resolution that came around, and I wanted to hear what you guys thought of it.
It was like zero communication. It caught everyone off guard. It screwed up wars. Like, people lost win streaks because half their clan was essentially banned. They didn't have any idea. All those ghost accounts that got moved to the Chinese server, people were, they were obviously not attacking in war, but they were unable to be attacked in those wars too. So even if you had a bunch of attacks left over when that happened, it still wrecked that war for people. Clans are torn apart. And there was just no comment on it at all. Still to this day, I don't think they've commented on it.
No official word.
Yeah. And I heard like, a lot of speculation that they weren't able to, for whatever legal reasons, the actual owner of Supercell being Tencent and, you know, politics things, that it might not have been a voluntary silence, but that doesn't make it any more palatable to the audience.
Yeah, I do kind of struggle with completely blaming Supercell on this one, because I don't think if they had a complete consequence-free choice, they would choose to not explain it at all. It was clearly... China, it's a funny business, right? Especially with online connectivity and connection to the outside world. It is a funny topic. And the 78% share Tencent has in Supercell, whatever it is, obviously plays an impact. I do probably wonder, though, if it was such a horrible thing to explain, they thought they could get away with it by just being silent and then making people go, oh yeah, it's the government, can't blame Supercell, and they got themselves out of a sticky situation there. But the more reasonable part of me does just want to believe they truly are almost gagged here. And I think it is really unfortunate, because obviously China had a really vibrant community, which I'm guessing is almost all but dead now. I mean, the World Finals winners from 2021 were JX Tiger, a Chinese team. Haven't heard of them since, and they were pretty well known, and they were pretty around in the lead-up to Worlds. After that, they really just disappeared, and that obviously is really unfortunate. I think it's really important to also touch on what happened here on Reddit, because that was big. That was really big. Rick, do you want to kind of how it was received over here?
Real fast, before we jump into that, because I do think that's a fun conversation too. I would be super disappointed about the China split and complete silence about it if it wasn't for a couple weeks ago. What I think tied a pretty neat bow on it, at least for the end of this year, is that China did get their first update since the split. Yeah. They did get clan capital, and it was really endearing if you saw the graphic that Supercell put along with that first update. The barbarian was like presenting it to the Chinese server, and he had like almost tears in his eyes. And you know, you can infer whatever you want from that. It's marketing. You know, you can still think that, you know, maybe Supercell could have done X, Y, and Z about it, but it gives us some promise leading up to the future. But yeah, for anybody who's interested in the actual subreddit itself, this has also been maybe equally as big of a year, if not even bigger proportionally, because I think this is one of the best years that we've had as a subreddit. If if Sam or Rick just wants to give kind of a very brief rundown of what this year has been, you know, different about the sub and different things that we've accomplished with it.
Oh, Rick, I'm happy for you to lead on this.
All right, cool. Probably the biggest news, 500,000 subscribers. That was
huge.
That was when was that? September?
That was,
or, I think it's October.
October.
Yeah, 500,000 subscribers. That was huge. We did a massive event. We got to give away 50 VIP boxes, which was awesome. It was so fun just to be able to, and like the VIP boxes are the huge ones that have merch from all Supercell games, not just Clash Clan stuff. So that was great. Spencer has spearheaded bringing back monthly events, and those have been going off amazingly.
The next
one he's gonna get ready to announce here probably next week. It should be a fun one. It's different, something we've never done before. A lot of new faces on the mod team, and we lost a couple real big names, but yeah, new on the mod team this year, HS007 Sid, we call him. Thanos is Than Markow, Noob on a Noob, and Vanessa Baxton, who you probably heard us refer to as Liam. That's his name. Four new great mods are all doing a great job. And Zag retired. She was a huge part of the sub for years.
Yeah.
And then we also said goodbye to Balance Generally and Davis AF, who, Davey, you absolute clown. I do miss you though.
Your band.
I thought that Davey was a mod for like years. And he was the whole time. This was just my fault. But yeah, Zag leaving, for anyone who really cares about the behind the scenes, Dragon Bard Z was her Reddit name, and probably single-handedly did more for the community of Clash of Clans than anybody that I know. Helped get the Reddit clan system off the ground, and or maybe not off the ground, but like really solidified it, did a lot of the back end work for that. Same thing with the sub. It was in a pretty rough spot, I think 5 years ago when she jumped into it, and she basically just wrangled the whole thing into order. And a lot of what we do as a mod team comes from the bones of the foundations that she laid with it. And her stepping back really hasn't been a negative thing, because we were a really solid team at the time, and that was part of the reason why she felt comfortable stepping back. But just as a unique and noticeable moment of this year would definitely be her stepping back. We also did the questions thread. I think that started this year, and I think
I'm so glad that worked. I'm so glad that's doing good.
I think that's been a huge success.
Yeah, I think it's really decreased the clutter on the sub, and then also given a really excellent place for coaches and teachers and mentors, people who are interested in that aspect of the community to flock to. And they really have. I was looking at, let me see if I can find it real quick. Yeah. The number one responder was one of our mods, actually, Vanessa Baxton, with 2,684 comments. And that doesn't actually count February, or that doesn't count January of this year, because the stats could only go back to February. So nearly 3,000 individual questions Vanessa had answered. And then going down the list of our top 10, people are like in the 500s to 2000s of helping people out. And so that's really cool to see in the community. And then the podcast, you know, we started that this year, coming up on our 1 year anniversary of it pretty soon.
I think I also kind of want to touch a little bit on like the engagement to the sub. I mean, in this year alone, we gained 100,000 new members. And I think when you contextualize that to the fact that we hit 500k and we have been around for 10 years, over 100,000 member growth is huge. I mean, that is absolutely huge. And obviously, I think it's a bit pompous for us to take the credit for it, because ultimately, it's the game and the engagement the game generates that provides the users over here. But even so, I still think it's something that we can be very proud of. Obviously, also our 10-year anniversary this year, as well as the game, which is pretty cool. The fact that this sub has made it for 10 years. And also something I think that, I don't know why I remember this, but something I kind of forgot happened was the fact that for the Town Hall 15 update, everything came through Reddit. Almost nothing was posted on the ClashClans.com website. New sneak peeks, everything, all came through Reddit. And that was actually really reflected in the traffic stats. As you can see, the mobile web views and engagement shoot up, which, you know, obviously suggests lots of people coming through linked in-game to Reddit, and obviously maybe didn't have it installed or didn't have the app, whatever. I think that's really cool how we got that almost exclusive rights to the sneak peeks. You know, everything came through Reddit, and I think that kind of almost just, like, it encapsulates how prominent we've become in the community, how we have had the sneak peeks come exclusively through us without even going on Supercell's website for arguably one of their biggest updates ever, which I think is pretty impressive.
And I think one thing we've been working on for years that I don't really know how you quantify it, but I feel like it's improved a lot this year, is just having high quality content. People are responding pretty well to written guides, to high quality, you know, coaching videos, or, you know, stats and graphics. Infographics especially have really taken off well this year. In terms of post quality, I think this year has been the best year since I've been around, which has been the past 4 years, for sure. I don't know if you guys would have a different opinion on that.
Oh, I think having people like Trample Damage around, just, and, you know, obviously I'm not saying he's the only prominent content creator, but also people like Winter Permission, who's been great for concept creation, and just loads of great people who have been helping out in guides and attack strategies, you know, how do you attack, or just general questions like Buy Will Alone, LRT, Lady Hawk, just to name a few off the top of my head. I mean, we've had a load of really great individuals that have been driving this sub, and obviously we've always had them. I mean, go back a year or two, I'd say people like Nex, if you remember him, you know, were big players obviously in the sub. I think this year we've had a load of really on the whole positive, active, and really driven people who've been really pushing the content up a notch on the subreddit. Obviously it's not just those people, and it does take everyone, takes all the users to, you know, make it what it is. But I do think we have really benefited from some really motivated individuals who have, you know, gone above and beyond to make this great place.
So this is about all the time that we've got. So let's do one last thing, and then we'll do some shout outs. For anyone who is just kind of unfamiliar with the mod team of the sub, we set goals for the sub pretty often. We do our best to follow through with them. And, you know, in years past, some of those goals have led to specific actions like humor weekends, like the questions mega thread, and different things that we think improve the quality of the sub. And we're going to keep doing that. You know, I think this year's been the best year for it. But as we are coming into this next year, the mod team is going to take a pretty honest evaluation of the sub as a whole, and what, if anything, we can do to continue to improve it. And so I say that to say a couple things. If you guys have any ideas on that, feel free to let us know, send a mod mail, comment on this post, anything that you want to get in touch with us to give us your feedback. We always value that. But individually, we're setting some New Year's resolutions, whether that's either for us in game or for us, you know, as the mod team. I wanted to throw it to Rick and Sam and then give my own one of what are your resolutions? What are your goals, either as a mod or just as a clasher coming up here soon? Preferably as a mod, but if you don't have anything there, as a clasher.
Sam, you go ahead first.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, I might split mine up into two. As a clasher, I really want to push further in Legends. I've been really actually loving the Town Hall 15 meta, and I think if I can get a little bit more in my groove, I could push quite far, and that is kind of my in-game goal, as it were. In terms of moderating, I haven't really got a clear-cut goal in my mind. I'd quite like to possibly, with the help of Sid as well, consolidate some of our bots and make that a bit more streamlined, possibly add more functionality, whatever it may be. But overall, I kind of think what I want to focus on next year is less having new initiatives and more refining what we've currently got, obviously with help of the community, like you mentioned earlier, Frank. So I think what I'd quite like to prioritize is just gauging the community's opinion on a lot of things we're currently doing and seeing how we can improve them. What about you, Rick? Go on.
Okay, so in game, kind of like every year, I say like t this is the year I figure out Lalo and I get good at Lalo, and that never happens.
If you want some lessons, I'm more than happy to give you
No,
some, Rick.
no. So it's just, you know,
Yeah,
I just need to accept that it's not in the cards for me. But I do wanna develop my queen charge skills, and then hopefully just can start pushing that into better ground attacks. So that's my big goal in the game too. Like all my big fails are always like when my heroes goof up or go the wrong way or don't path exactly where I want them to go. I did a friendly war earlier today, just doing like super archer blimp titan spam, and I had like my titans go one way, my heroes go the other twice. And
Yeah.
I don't, I really want to narrow down just control my heroes in the game. But for the sub, I have two big ones that I want to do, and they're things that I've been wanting to do for probably 2 years now, but it's just they're big boring undertakings, but I think they're gonna have massive value for the sub. Number one, I want to do like a town hall landing page for each town hall. Just when someone comes to the sub and says, "Hey, I'm a new town hall 9," I want them to be able to go to our wiki and find the town hall 9 page, and just here is front loaded all the main information. Here's your upgrade priorities. Here's a couple base links, a couple army links, and basic descriptions on how to use them. A real straightforward like starter kit for each town hall level. And I want to get that done. I've half started it like 4 times now, and it's just it feels like a massive project. And I keep kicking the can down the road, but 2023 is the year. And then the other big one is I want to rewrite and simplify all of the sub rules. I don't want to change really any of them. I just want to do a big once over and simplify and clarify and rephrase some stuff just to make them easier to understand and to where it's not a huge 2-page novel for people to read.
Very noble goals.
Yeah, no, I love both of those.
All right.
I've got
Yeah, what do you
a
got, Frank?
small one. Well, a small, I guess 1.5. I want to be on the podcast more, not to get too meta with it, but I've been too busy on Friday nights, so I'm gonna figure out what I need to do.
I
But
quit your
something.
job.
The other big one though is that I feel like I've plugged this too much lately, so if I feel I'm shilling myself, I apologize. But I did the recruiting workshop like a month ago, and I just was so excited about it. It went super well. I loved every second of it, and I'm gonna try and do probably once every other month something similar, where sometimes it'll be a brand new topic, like clan management is gonna be the next one that comes up, clan leadership, how you do that, and then like a call-in workshop for it. But then I think there'll be some months where, you know, we use the same guide and just have it the same topic with, you know, a new crowd of people calling in with their unique situation. So I'm going to try and use Reddit Talks Clash more in 2023, just at on a personal level to help people with their clan and their, you know, situation in ways that I feel like I can help. So that's what I got coming into it. But I think unless
Awesome.
we have any other comments, yeah.
Oh, I just said awesome.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I was gonna say, unless we have anything else, you know, productive to say, we can do some shout outs and then wrap it and see you guys next year.
Yeah, I guess I'll just say to all the other podcasters out there too. It's a real cool community. If you guys enjoy listening to us, go check out all the other Clash of Clans podcasts. They're all different and unique and fun in their own cool way. Yeah, I just want to say hey to all you guys from the you know, Crystal to join the Only Clash podcast. Clash Tips is hanging it up. I hope you come back. You know, I hope you, yeah, you get through your spot and you come back strong. Tip. So, but yeah, everyone else, man, it's been great getting to know you guys this year since we started our podcast, and you know, hope to talk to a lot of you more throughout the whole next year, and good luck to everyone. So yeah, what do you guys got?
I would just like to actually quickly shout out, actually just to celebrate in general, specifically with in regards to the whole phishing Supercell ID situation. I think obviously we talked about it this pod about enabling it and how stupid you are if you don't, but I don't know how much we touched on the whole subreddit aspect of it and how really the community drove this change. And Darian explicitly said it was mostly this community that really pushed Supercell to make that change, and it is huge. It is really important, and I am genuinely proud that everyone managed to push that change. So yeah, that's my piece, Frank.
I'm still so hyped up about that.
I know, it's great, isn't it?
Nice. Yeah, I agree. My shout out is to you, the listener. You're the reason why we do this, and you know, wouldn't do this if people didn't listen to it. So whether you are here live, or if you listen to this in podcast form, shout out to you. That's going to be 2022 from us. We'll see you guys next year, and keep the train moving in a positive direction. But hope you guys all have a happy New Year's, safe rest of your holidays, and we'll catch you next time.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Hey. One quick final note too. We're going to change the logo. So for those of you guys listening through Spotify or Apple or whatever, the picture is going to change. So, don't be confused.
New year,
new year, new season, new look. Hopefully music at some point. If I still want to get to doing music.
Didn't you want to do that a year ago or something?
I did, like right off the bat I did. And then like I listened to 40,000 hours of royalty free music, and they're all terrible. Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to that next year.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Happy New Year, everyone.
See you guys next year and in season 2 of RTC.
Ooh.